is Sportsfeld. It is drastically different than we recently spoke. It is incredible. It is a great time. It is mid-September. There are 2.5 weeks left in the baseball season. Jake is back from vacation, feeling refreshed. I have somebody else to talk to finally. He is back from the East Coast. He has had his fill of delicious foods, and the team that he is coming back to is in a vastly different spot than the one that he left. We'll start off, of course, though, Jake. How was your trip to the East Coast?
It was lovely. It was great. It was like it was one of those trips that while we were there, it felt like a very long week. Mm-hmm. in a good way. And then as soon as it was over, it felt like it went by in like 2 seconds, which is weird. Like, I really, on Monday, I was like, oh, it's been a week since we left, which didn't feel right. But
yeah,
I feel like that's how it goes, right?
As an observer, it seemed like you were back immediately. It was like they're gone and they're having this great time. And then boom, you're back. And it's like, oh man, how quickly it goes.
I think it was because, I don't know about you, but for me, usually when I do historically, when I do a like 4 day trip, it's Friday to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But this was Monday to Friday, which made it all seem very quicker somehow.
We have altered the itinerary for our trip out west.
Oh, to what?
A week, similar to your point, a week was a little too long.
Right.
We are leaving on Wednesday now and returning on Saturday. So instead of Saturday to Saturday, we're doing Wednesday to Saturday. Jake, it turns out it costs a lot of money to rent a hotel for a full week. It's an expensive thing to do. And to eat for a full week and all those things. To do them for 7 days versus 4 days is, some would say, twice as expensive.
Yeah. We were lucky. We found our friends, Jacob and Kara, found us. There's a new hotel in Charlottetown that's like a no-frills thing. And it was great. It was like exactly what we needed, and quite inexpensive, which was even better. But yeah, eating like 3 meals a day out every day is, so we decided that next time we go out west or anywhere into a like more outdoorsy kind of area, we're just gonna rent a cottage and just cook for ourselves.
Yes, I think that is the play, is to at least one meal a day be able to make it, whether it be a continental breakfast or you are making lunch for yourself. I think that is a smart thing to do.
Yeah, like even in the mornings, like we'd go and get, you know, coffee and a muffin or something.
Of course.
That's still like, you know, $15 or no, not $15, but like, yeah, $15 after tax and tip. Still every day, you know, it adds up when every meal is more expensive, which is not a complaint.
No,
obviously we can do it, which is nice, but it's definitely not something I can do more than once every like few years, apparently.
Speaking of eating, how was the eating? Oh baby,
it was great. It's my favorite food type. Like, I could go and sit and eat East Coast seafood every day for the rest of my life. I was thinking about that when we were there. Like, there's people who live there who mm-hmm. obviously don't eat seafood every day,
right?
But like, how do you not?
I know. I always get that. I remember when we went to Nashville, I was like, I don't know how you could live in Nashville and not just be constantly eating barbecue. Like,
we
have the best restaurants literally in the world for this. How would you possibly be like, oh, I'm going to go get a salad today? Like, I don't know how you could even mentally do it. And I know that seems at odds with, like, you know, there are a lot of different things you could eat in Toronto. There's a lot of different places you could go. And obviously, eventually, you settle into, like, I'm going to get groceries for 6 of my days of the week and then have my splurge, but the splurge, every splurge would be barbecue. I don't know how you could possibly not constantly be eating it.
Right, and in PEI, like, the lobster is, you just reach into the ocean, it's right there.
Ugh.
Like, how do you not just do that every day? Like, there are, like, normal, fast food,
of course,
places. Like, there's a Subway downtown Charlottetown, walk by it every day. And, like, nothing against Subway, but, like, how would you, How do you just like be like, yeah, I'm gonna go get that today.
Let me get a sub instead of the yeah. big meat trio instead of a fresh lobster right. pulled out of the ocean. Yeah,
right, exactly.
Yes, I am. I'm very jealous, and I've. It's been a tough 3 days for me because I am in. You know, you're counting the days until you're on vacation, and you're just like, it's just dragging. You're like, all I want to do is not be working and be going on vacation, but It's right around the corner. So I feel very good about that. Anyway, I was glad to see you get out and get on vacation. As I said at the end of this show last week, you have been working basically since not having a job stopped being the bane of your life, which we will all remember since this show. You've just been sort of head down grinding away at that for as long as I can remember now. It's tough.
Yeah, it felt weird.
The pandemic, you forget.
The pandemic, and also like my income is entirely, like I don't have a salary. Like it's dependent on how much work I do.
Right.
So like that mindset of like, if I stop, I just don't have money. It's like, well, I don't know.
I'm glad you got away. I think well earned. I'm well earned. And you sound refreshed. You sound vibrant.
I mean, how could I not with all the wonderful baseball that's been going on?
It has been. And I'm glad you steer us back on course. I wanted to point out the last time you were on the show, and listen, I say last time you were on the show as if you're not the co-host and are not on this show constantly, but you took 1 week off. So it has been 14 days since we recorded the show. The last time we recorded the show was September 1st, and they hadn't played yet that day. They have played today. They just finished beating the Tampa Bay Rays and just finished winning their sixth straight series. But since you left, when you left this show for the last time, Jake, it was, the days were 69 and 62, which is to say 7 games above 500. They were 6.5 games back of the Yankees. They were 4.5 games back of Boston for the second wild card. They were behind Seattle and Oakland as well. Since you have been gone, the Jays went 13-2. They are now the first seed in the American League wild card as we wait for the Red Sox and Yankees to play today. The worst the Jays can do is be tied for first, but they are currently on pace to host the wild card game. They currently have a plus 175 run differential. They have passed the Rays in run differential. They are only 8 games back of the Rays for the division. Probably not going to get there, but that magical number, the magical number that everybody has talked about many, many times this year, was they're going to have to get the 91. They're going to have to get the 91. Well, when you start off by winning 13 of 15, they now have to go 9-7 over the last 16 to get to 91. We have talked at length this year. I think we have both said it maybe 50 times apiece that all they needed to do was go on a run. 13 of 15 certainly counts as a run. 15 of 17 certainly counts as a run. The Jays have gone on that run. They continue to be on that run. ESPN has their playoff percentages at 62.5. It is a special time to be a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah, I think it, you know, we talk about sort of where we were when we last spoke on this show 2 weeks ago today, and multiple mailbag questions, because there's a couple we didn't use because a repeat. Yes. Was like, is this the most disappointing Blue Jays season ever?
Right, that was the last. That's how we went off. That's right.
That's where we were 14 days ago.
We built our story time around that this month.
Right. And now it's like, now I think, how to phrase this? I think that obviously, you know, the Jays are in sort of that double-edged sword moment right now, where anything less than winning, I'm not even going to say winning what, I'm just going to say continuing to win as is a disappointment now. Because they're showing what they can do, losing at any point in any round of the playoffs is now going to be disappointing.
It is funny.
Not making the playoffs is going to be disappointing. However, you cannot argue that now, no matter what happens, you can be disappointed. You know what I mean? Like, this is all that we wanted.
Yes.
And it'll be in the moment. The wild card race is very close. There's 3 teams tied for the top spot basically right now, and 2 more right behind. So there is a good chance that they don't make it in. And if that doesn't happen, obviously, at the moment, that would be crushing and really disappointing and terrible. And then going forward, like, any point in the playoffs losing, no matter what your situation is, if your team makes the playoffs and you lose, it sucks.
Unquestionably.
But on the whole, zooming out of just that moment of loss, you can't be disappointed anymore. this is great. This is what we wanted.
I was thinking as I took the dog out before we went on the air here that it is funny that, like, in the course of 2 weeks, it went from I just want them to make a push and make it competitive to now if they don't make the wild card, it's going to be like, oh, they collapsed, right? Like, it's crazy how that narrative happens.
It's like true.
The start of the month, it was like, man, if they could get within shouting distance and have a chance in the last week, I would be thrilled. And now
they were 7.5 games back the last time we spoke.
Crazy.
That's crazy. That's more than 2 games a day. Oh no. Yeah, that's more than 2 games a day they've made up on. No, that's not true. That's bad math.
Yeah, that is bad math.
It's half a game a day they've made up in the last 2 weeks. But they, still,
again, I've only lost twice since we talked. And they've had a couple basically miracle wins. The win against Oakland on the Friday after we talked if they lose that game, I was like, I think that's it. I think that's probably it. They score 9 in the 8th and 9th. The Gurriel Grand Slam, who I maintain, Gurriel is the secret sauce. When Gurriel is hitting, yeah, they just can't lose. Like,
when he's hitting, they have 7 no-doubt hitters amazing in the lineup. Not even the vaunted 2015 team drink had 7 no-doubt hitters. Like, it's... When Gurriel's going, and I think Kirk is consistent enough to count as one of those guys, you know, that's 1 through 7 in your lineup.
Unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. But I'm glad you brought up the Oakland game, because obviously we haven't had a chance to talk about it on this show, because I was at the end of the show. But I can't stop thinking about that game and how... I said this totally sober on vacation to our friend Jacob Kramer while watching them beat the Yankees. And my thought was, if the Jays pull this off and not even go on a run, if they just make the ALDS, that game becomes like one of the most important, greatest games in franchise history.
Yeah,
and the reason I'm saying that is because the Blue Jays have not made the playoffs that many times.
Sure, no, absolutely right.
If we're not counting last year, which like I don't really, because like they made the in giant air quote playoffs.
Right, they were what the sixth? What were they? Sixth, seventh?
The eight? They're the eighth seed. Yeah,
they snuck in.
That's 3 more teams that will make the playoffs this year. They would be a shoo-in if there was 8 teams making the playoffs this year.
Right.
But like the Blue Jays have made the playoffs. I feel like my count is wrong. My brain says that they've made it 6 times, but I think that's wrong. Blue Jays have made it what?
It is
yeah,
wrong.
7 times.
Yeah.
Blue Jays have made the playoffs 7 times in 8 40
times, 8 times. 85, 89,
7,
91. 92,
yeah,
93.
I'm not counting last year.
Oh, you're not counting last year. Fair enough. Then yeah, fair enough.
So 7 times in 44 years. Therefore, when they make it, it's a big fucking deal. So that Oakland game, if they make it, because I agree with you. I like when they were down 8-2 in that game, I thought that was it.
Yeah.
Because they were in that slump of not scoring. They had just kind of squeaked by Detroit and Baltimore. It was like they couldn't score, and then it was like, okay, they can beat the Baltimores and the Detroits, and now a team that they're chasing is coming to town. If they blow this, it's over. And then it's 8-2 in the 8th inning. And it was like, okay, well, they gave it a good... Like, they were dead. The season was over. And then Gurriel hits that... Kirk takes the walk, and then Gurriel hits the grand slam, and then they give up too, and then Semien walks them off. Springer hits that. I still have no idea how he hit that ball, let alone stretch it into a double. It's like, and then they of course go on the tear immediately after. It's like, that's one of the greatest, even if they don't make it, it's still one of the greatest like one game turnarounds I've ever seen. Of like twice. A one game. Yeah. And then they've done it like 3 more times since.
Yeah. Twice in 8 days, they gave up 10 runs and won the game 11-10 on a walk-off. That's not a walk-off, pardon me. The Baltimore one wasn't a walk-off, but it was the seventh inning of
it might
a
as well. Game. It might as well have been a walk-off, I think.
You almost run out of words to describe the run they've been on. I know watching it happen, it just sort of feels like they're going to win every game, and that is why yesterday they lost to Tampa, and like you woke up today and it was like a bomb went off. People were extremely upset. And I was like, man, they've won 13 or 15 games. And it's the Rays, but that is what comes with Rays stakes, and that is what comes with the situation they are in right now. It's incredible that they are 82-64, that they're going to end up closer to 20 games over 500 than 10. When again, not that long ago, they were seven games over, and you know we're back to scoreboard watching like we were years before. You're watching, you know, Red Sox Mariners right now. You have the Yankees always on in the background. This is what you dream of. This is when you're looking at the last 2.5 weeks, right there with the Yankees and Red Sox, and striking fear in the heart of the sweeping the Yankees in New York. And never trailing in the series.
That was unbelievable. That was one of those that reminded me kind of a similar feeling, different situation, obviously, to the in 2016 in the ALDS when they just like beat Texas in Texas really badly for two games.
Yes.
And it was like, well, they can't do that again. And it just like kept happening. It was like, oh, okay. That was I hope this has a better result. But that was crazy. It was like we obviously watched the games in PEI, and it was just kind of like, you know, after the second one, it was just like, okay, we'll get the split, and then everything's gravy. And they just kept winning. It was crazy. And then the Baltimore game was Baltimore games, like, let alone the crazy comeback, which also, I don't know about you, but I was not super concerned during that game.
The one against Baltimore?
Yeah. I was like, this is fine. They're going to come back.
Well, I did have pangs of like, it would be very 2021 Blue Jays to completely save this season, sweep the Yankees, and then lose the first two games against Baltimore. That would be exactly what I would expect the 2021 team to do.
Yes, that's true.
They come back, and then the next game they are...
Then they scored 100 runs.
Being no hit going into the final inning of the game, and they put up 11 runs by going 13 for 13. And then they score 22 on the Sunday.
And then 8 on the Rays.
It's hard to believe. I'm amazed. I will say that, you know, we did a decent job, I think, of acknowledging the downside of the back half of August and never officially saying they were dead. You yourself actually said that the stretch that was coming up was the season, and they basically have not lost since you said that, which is amazing. But I think it feels special now because, you know, the thing that I tried to hold on to when they were struggling, but it was because they were struggling because they weren't hitting, was like the one thing I'm not worried about is them hitting. When they were giving away games because the bullpen was bad, or they were giving away games because they hadn't figured out who the fourth and fifth starters was, you know, we've seen many, many teams over the course of baseball history have their great offensive season derailed because they can't get outs. When they were pitching well and not hitting, I was a little less concerned because it was like all it has to do is click, and then this shit is on track. And obviously that Oakland game, the 11-10 game, since then, I mean, they're averaging like 8 runs a game. It's been amazing.
Well, I think you said it too. Whether it was last time we talked or the time before, I forget. But you pointed out that the thing with the Jays season this year that's so frustrating is that all the pieces were clearly there, but everything, except maybe the bullpen for the first 100 games, but everything kind of was working at different times. Like, there'd be a stretch where they were hitting everything, but they couldn't get an out. And then there'd be a stretch where they couldn't be scored on, but they couldn't score. And then it was kind of the sense of like, well, if they could just not give up runs and also score a bunch at the same time, there's a good chance they could win a game. And then finally, everything seems to be clicking at once. And like, the starting pitching has been, I think it's getting lost in the sheer magnitude of the number of runs they've scored in the last 7 days. But the starting pitching has been unbelievable.
Could not agree more.
A couple aberrations aside, which maybe we'll get into later about potential concerns, but like Steven Matz has the second lowest, is like the third best ERA in the American League since the All-Star break.
Yeah, his literally ERA is like 2.5.
Literally Steven Matz.
Robbie Ray might win the Cy Young. Hyunjin Ryu is their worst starter right now.
Which was, that was kind of what I was wanting to come back to.
Craziness. We're going to get into it a little more because I think we've not even started to scratch the surface in just 1 second. Jake, something we like to do on this show, you've already done it once, is bring up the 2015 Blue Jays. And we talked about it a couple times around the All-Star break. I remember when around the trade deadline, it was like they're a 500 team. The 2015 Jays were a 500 team. You know, and then we sort of cooled off and I was like, you know, the run that they went on in August and September, it was unprecedented. And we are foolish for expecting that to be something that can be repeated. And to that end, I ask you, Jake, is the last 2 weeks, the 15 of 17, the 13-2, the fact that they made up all that ground with 2 weeks to go in the season, is this more impressive to you than 2015?
Yeah, I think so. I think in a vacuum, I think I say yes, just because of the deficit they've had to close. Like, as we've talked about before, obviously the back half of the 2015 season is insane. They lost like 18 games after the All-Star break or something, or after the trade deadline, sorry, or something like that. But they were also only, I believe they were only like two games back or less at that time, despite the fact that they were 400, and they only deal with the Yankees because the Rays and the Red Sox were not factors. Yeah, okay, they're fair enough. They were six games back of the Yankees on July 31st. But then they were in first place by August 12th. So, you know, that's a month and a half, almost 2 months of being in first or just below first. Whereas this year's team has done it starting on September 1st. And they were even further back with a month later. So yeah, I think that is more impressive. Obviously, they've been aided by the Yankees and the Red Sox kind of falling apart a little bit. Although taking four off New York, can't fault the Jays for that, or fault the Yankees for that. But you know, I think I'm going to give that an incomplete grade as I'm talking myself through it.
Sure.
I think at the moment I'll say yes. If they pull it off, and make the playoffs, I would say absolutely.
That's fair. For some context, the Blue Jays currently have lost 16 games since the All-Star break. So two more losses. If they lose two more games and they go the rest of the way, they basically put up the exact same second half as that 2015 team has, which seems That's impossible.
Wild. That's wild. That's truly insane.
I could talk about this team basically forever. I'll tell you this much for sure, is nobody wants to face this team in the playoffs. That is a fact.
No. Yeah.
That is a fact.
I will also say, you know, I think that there were, you know, just a week and a half ago, there were many correct arguments that George Springer should not be playing on one leg. And I know that the team doctors said that it's like scar tissue and he's just, it can't get worse. It's just going to suck. And from everything we've seen, that seems to be accurate. Cause like he looks like he's in pain, but he's also not leaving the games. But like, I don't want to like hero-fy guys who make $150 million do anything. But like, this doesn't happen. Like, yeah, he has not been obviously 100% George Springer that we saw, you know, in July, in the beginning of August, but this also doesn't happen with him out of the lineup, I think.
That's true.
And I just think it's, you know, not, I don't want to sound too sports radio talky here, but like, it's a fucking cool gutsy performance from him. Like, he's very clearly in pain, although he seems to be getting better, which is a relief. But I think it's really fucking cool.
I think it's definitely had a positive effect, not just his bat in the lineup, of course, but I think that him recognizing, you know, this is a really crucial stretch and I want to do anything I possibly can, I think that energizes the guys. And I think, you know, we've seen this year, positivity is never going to be in short supply for this team. They've done a really good job of, like, I can think of maybe 5 or 10 losses, especially early in the year, where I was like, oh, that's a loss that's going to start a losing streak. And it never really happened. Like, for all the times that they struggled this year, they also never really went on a huge losing run. Like, am I forgetting a big losing streak this year? I don't think there was. Like, there were bad weeks. I think they went, you know, they may have had a week where they were 2-5. I think they lost 6 straight once in May, because after Tampa swept them is the worst I can think of.
I mean, they were basically hovering in and around 500 the whole year.
Yeah, and they got swept by the Yankees in June.
Which is what made it so frustrating, too, because it was like that sort of holding pattern. Like, yeah, May 18th, they're 23-17. Then they're basically, the back half of June is basically just going a few games over and under 500. 47-46 in July. Yeah, you're right. You look at their streaks. There was a 6-game losing streak in May,
mm-hmm.
and a 5-gamer in June. But then, other than that, no, it's been very, like, not a lot of runs until recently.
It just so happens both of those losing streaks are to the American League East. Of course.
Yes.
That's Boston and Tampa in the first one and Boston and New York in the second one. I mean, it's just the way it goes.
I mean, I think that despite what I said in the first segment, which I still
I was mad with, about that Yankees one. I remember that very well.
Yeah. Like, despite what I said about there being no way for this season to be a disappointment zooming out, which I still think is true, if they don't make it, I will be unable to look back in the first half and look at all those missed opportunities and be like, damn.
Hmm. Yeah.
So many games they gave away. Even, like, recently, even, like, the Josh Palacios game or any of the many Trent Thornton games or the Tyler Chatwood games, or you want to go back even further, the Tanner Roark game. Like, there's just, we're getting to the point where, like, one loss could be the difference, which is why I think, like, obviously the sort of noise around last night and this morning was insane, but I do understand why people were worked up about minor decisions, because we're now at the point where, like, that could cost the whole thing.
Yeah, we have arrived at every decision is going to be micromanaged to the nth degree. I'm glad you brought up Tanner Roark. I was going to point out some of the stuff that, like, the season feels like it's been 2 years combined. Like, I can't believe Tanner Roark was on this team this year. I can't believe,
yeah,
like you said, we had Tyler Chatwood Kirby, on this team this Kirby year. Rafael Yates Dolis, right?
Kirby Yates was on this team. We were excited about him being our new closer.
We watched Jacob Barnes and Jeremy Beasley and Carl Edwards Jr. Like, there's a
oh,
lot.
Oh, man, Carl Edwards Jr.
Yeah, man.
And, like, I remember today, Gavin Biggio was on this team.
Gavin Biggio, yeah. Joe Panic. Wild stuff that we've seen come and go over the course of this year, but they really feel optimized. They feel like this is, you know, when we talked at the beginning of the season about our wildest hopes for what they could be, this exact offense was sort of what we were looking at. And I mean, listen, they've won 82 games. Like, it's a winning season no matter what already. They've already crossed that threshold. They can win as many as 98, which is hard to believe. But they feel like a 90-win team to me. I don't know about you, but
yeah,
they certainly feel like they're going to win 90 games. And we could be on here. We've learned this lesson many times this year. We could be on here a week from now, or you could be on here without me a week from now, being like, I can't believe they've fucked this up so bad. But it feels like they've unlocked it. It feels like the pitching most of the time, pitching is going to give you a shot, and the offense is basically never out of it. And you know, we want to look ahead the rest of the way. It's only 16 games. So you can very, you can look at it right here. You have Minnesota for 3, Tampa for 3, Minnesota for 4, New York for 3, Baltimore for 3, and that is it. The 3 in Tampa, you already know, is going to be a huge pain in the ass.
That's the big one now.
Already, but all they have to do is survive that, right? They've managed to win the first part.
Because they have the 3 against New York at home immediately after, they basically just have to not get swept in Tampa.
Yeah. And then take care of business against the Yankees.
Yeah. And then obviously the Twins and the Orioles have to be the Twins and the Orioles.
The Twins are 64-82. They are below the Kansas City Royals this year. Not sure if everybody knows that. They are the exact inverse of the Jays record. And Baltimore is 46-98. So you have, you know, you get 6 games against Minnesota with a chance to really boost that record. You're gonna finish the season with the 3 against Baltimore. So
that's so big.
You hope that, you know, best case scenario, going to that Baltimore series up 1 game, up 2 games. Well, best case scenario, you're up like 4. But, you know, ideally you go into that Baltimore series and you're up 2 or 3 games, and all you got to do is beat the worst team in your division once or twice. Oh, if you're up 2, you only got to beat them once. But you only have to, you know, you have to basically win the series against Baltimore to make the playoffs is the situation you want to be put into. Boy, that Yankees series is going to be possibly very, 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 very big.
Yeah, I feel like it's, but again, like, I mean, it is. Like, there's no, barring catastrophe, you know, you would hope that 2 series against the Twins before then is enough to offset things a little bit in our favor.
God, I sure hope so.
I mean, look, there's 16 games left. 10 of which are Minnesota and Baltimore. If you win 8 of those, you're in good shape.
Yeah.
If you win 8 of those, at worst, they're a 90-win team.
That's right. If you just beat, you can lose every game to Tampa and New York and still win 91 games, basically.
Exactly. And I don't imagine they're going to lose every game to Tampa and New York.
God, I hope not. Certainly, especially not New York. Goodness gracious, I would be upset by that quite a bit. Old friend Josh Donaldson, wouldn't that be heartbreaking if that's the guy who comes in and fucks everything up? A day off on Thursday, thank God.
I just want it to be fucking like
easy.
I want that Baltimore series to be, or that Yankee series to be now. I want it to be that week. I'm tired of this shit. Tired of this, like, this tense waiting nonsense.
You know, it is nice coming off the momentum of having beaten Tampa Bay, which is always difficult to do.
Just nice to prove that they can.
Yeah, absolutely. To ride that momentum into the Minnesota series, you hope that they can sort of boost things up and get a little fat on that and then dine out on the lesser runs. Because listen, they're 7-9 against the Tampa Bay this year. Like they can honest to God end the season with a winning record against the Rays, which is like, if that's not proof that they're a playoff team, I don't know what is.
Yeah, it's,
and they're guaranteed, I'll say this, they're guaranteed the tiebreaker against New York because they're currently 10-6. The worst they can be is 10-9 against the Yankees. Boston is the only team in the division that is guaranteed to have the tiebreaker over them.
For some reason, I'm not worried about Boston making a run here.
Is it riddled with game, COVID?
Yeah, that's part of it. I have their game on right now, but it's like, they're still good, but they're also riddled with COVID. And also, they've been really bad for like a month.
They're frauds. They're frauds. The Yankees are also frauds. I mean, as I posited today, Gleyber Torres would be the worst hitter in the Blue Jays, not just lineup, on their roster. Gleyber Torres has the same OPS as Kevin Biggio, who we all agree.
And they're running out Ruggio Odor every couple days.
Ruggio Odor, who has been as good as Gleyber Torres. They're both 86 WRC plus, which for your context is the same WRC or the same OPS plus as Breivik Valera. That's the level that those guys are operating at. And yet they are somehow in the race, despite their year repeatedly being a disaster after disaster. They maintain their spot in the race. I feel very optimistic, and I felt optimistic maybe not 2 weeks ago, but certainly last week I felt very optimistic that I think they've done it. I think they've figured this out. And again, barring catastrophe, they really just need to beat the terrible teams they are facing left.
Yeah, that's really what it, which for some reason almost worries me more than if they had just like series of New York and Boston for the rest of the year.
Needlessly losing to Baltimore and the other, and then almost doing it again. Certainly not inspiring.
I will say, I agree with you. I'm also optimistic about things. However, I did notice last night when they lost one game and all the other teams won, immediately I was just like, oh, I don't know.
Well,
it's a good thing they won today. I'll just put it that way.
It's pretty much cleared out. I mean, Seattle is three back. The Athletics are 3.5 back, barring the unforeseen there. It's going to be one of the three AL East teams. It's good that they control their fate. I think that's the one thing I'm really happy with is they're even or ahead in the loss column on all these teams. So they basically just if they just keep winning, just keep swimming. All they really got to do. 8-2 in their last 10. The Yankees are 3-7 in their last 10 as of time of recording. Boston 4-6 in their last 10. So that really does tell the story of how this division has gone. And I will tell you, I'll say it once more. None of these teams want to face the Blue Jays in the playoffs. I'm not just saying that because we are Blue Jays fans. I don't think Chicago, having gotten a taste in the last little bit, is super pumped about that Jays lineup. I don't think Houston, as good as Houston has played against the Jays this year, and is Houston the only team in the American League with a better run differential, I really don't think either one of those people, one of those teams, want anything to do with this Blue Jays team.
I'm going to tempt some fate here.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to say two things that I may come to regret saying.
Go ahead.
The first is, I'm glad that when this block of tickets went on sale, I chanced it and bought tickets to the Yankees series.
Hell yes. I love you for that.
The other thing is, Chicago and Houston don't scare me at all.
Okay.
I'm getting way ahead of myself here. But the Rays scare the shit out of me.
Winning the wild card gets to the Rays. I hate to say it.
No, I know. I'm just going to leave it at that for now.
Listen, and before we, you know, I have to do this regular check-in. The Jays would be basically leading a lot of other divisions right now. They have one less win than the White Sox. They have two less wins than the Astros. They have,
and that's not taking into account getting to play all those teams.
They have six more wins than the National League East leading Atlanta Braves. Atlanta's 76-67.
If the Blue Jays were in the AL Central, they'd have like 104 wins right now.
You got to think, right? And I'm shocked at this. San Francisco,
and I'm not exaggerating.
Anyway, we're both feeling optimistic. We're both feeling good. Jake, I'll ask you.
95 wins for San Francisco. I'm sick.
Don't even look at it. They already have the clinched beside their names.
At least it's better than the fucking Dodgers.
I will ask you this, Jake. Who, you know, lineup dependent. What is your who is of the decision making guys, which is basically catcher, complete the outfield and starting pitcher. What does your wild card lineup? This is way too far.
Oh, we're doing this. I was going to save this for a couple weeks. Can I do it now?
Hypothetically.
Catcher is Alejandro Kirk all day, every day.
Okay.
Assuming Springer still can't play center field.
Right.
If Springer can play center field, I would put Danny Jansen behind the plate and DH Kirk. I was having this conversation yesterday. I think I would start Alec Manoah in the wild card game.
That is wild thing to say. A rookie.
Here's why. If it's okay. I don't like this. I'm getting too far ahead of myself. But if the wild card game is at home, I would start Manoah. On the road, I think you go Ray, no question. The reason I would start Manoah is because if you win, you get Ray twice in a 5-game series.
Boy. You're right. We've gotten too far ahead of ourselves.
Also, I know the answer is you start Robbie Ray.
Of course you start.
Of course you do. Unquestionably, you start Robbie Ray. But also, maybe you start Alec Manoah.
Crazy. That's craziness. That's a question for another day. Hopefully, as a question for 2.5 weeks from now when they are playing on, I believe it is October the 5th or 6th would be the wild card.
Yeah,
because the third is
the final game. Third is the final season. Yeah, I will say this.
Oh my God, we could be doing a show, wild card day. You think of that?
I mean, we won't be doing a show Wildcard Day.
Yeah. Let's see. When is the wild card?
It would be. You're right. It would be the 5th or the 6th.
Tuesday, October 6th. Oh no. Why would that say? Why would it give me the? You love Google. You type in wild card date and it tells you when the 2015 wild card game was. So yeah,
that's good.
That's great. That's useful. I love that.
I will say this. Obviously, we're already there. Like as I said, as we're talking, I'm watching fucking Red Sox and Mariners. But I think this week, coming up for the Blue Jays, the Twins Rays Twins series. Mm-hmm. This week is the last week of like anything approaching rational calm. As a watcher,
yeah, for sure.
Like we might already be past there, but I'm only saying because it's the Twins twice. But like that final week is going to be bananas.
Tuesday, October 5th is the American League wild card.
Well, let's hope we have something to talk about that day.
That could be a show. Let me tell you. God, I hope they're in it. I hope they're at home, and I hope they win handily. Obvious things to hope, but just how I feel. There we go. We're all caught up. I'm shocked this is where we are, but I'm absolutely fucking thrilled. I'm so happy that, because yeah. Like think about how easy it would be, Jake, just to be like, man, what a great run. They're only a game and a half back, right? Or they're two
right.
back. But they'd won two
in New York. I you know what the best thing is, and you said it earlier, is it's entirely in their hands now.
100%.
I'll take that. That like as much fun as the last 2 weeks have been. I have not enjoyed the we got to win and the other team has to lose stuff.
Yeah, that's all out the window.
I hate tracking that shit. Now you just got to win. And I think that's more fun. But also if the Red Sox and Yankees want to lose a few, that would be fine with me.
I would also be totally fine with that. Anyway, we're going to get into recommendations and a little bit more as well as mailbag, of course, after this. Jake, you are back from the East Coast. You have you listen to East Coast music while you were out there? I don't even know how that works.
No, I didn't really listen to music while I was out there because like, I was with people.
That's true.
Like, we weren't really like
you're hanging out and
listening
chilling
to music. Yeah.
Which all brings me back now that you're back on landlocked in Ontario. What is your song of the week this week?
Song of the week this week is "Let's Ball" by Matthew E. White. Matthew White's a really cool. Kind of soul-y singer-songwriter guy. I first saw him, God, I don't even know what year it was. He opened for the Mountain Goats one time, and I was like, this guy's awesome. He plays like a really cool band, kind of soul music. His new record's very like dancey and disco-tinged, and it's real fun. A bop, I believe I called it on Instagram for this song. The new album's called K-Bay, letter K and the Bay. But check it out. It's great, and the new song's really fun. And if you want, it's like it's a nice post Blue Jays win song.
you're gonna laugh at this. I heard the song "Dear Maria, Count Me In" by All Time Low for the first time today.
You know what? I've never heard that song in my life. I barely know what All Time Low sound like. I just know I don't like them.
It was the first time I've ever heard it. I was like, oh, this is All Time Low. I guess and listen, it's 2007 that song came out, so it shouldn't have been outside my window. But I was like, oh. I guess this is the song. And then I was like, oh, let me listen to a different song by them. And I was like, no, never mind. Moving on. Just the anthem, thanks. Just the one with the 200 million views. I don't need anything else to ever hear from them. I guess I just stopped listening to new pop punk by the time as soon as I graduated.
Yeah,
college.
they're in that gap, yeah. I think, of like, cause I don't know if, I don't think everyone did this, but I know I did this. And I think you did this too, where like, we were into pop punk and emo when we were supposed to be.
Yes.
And then from like 2007 to like 2014, I just like didn't keep up with it.
100%.
And all these bands, like these sort of like the next generation of them, some of which I quite like now, I just like missed.
Isn't that funny how that works? Because there's so many of them. I just like, oh,
there's so many of them.
I guess I didn't. It never entered my purview ever.
Because
people younger than us speak very highly, and it's like it's basically if you weren't a fan of any of it, you'd be like, this is all the exact same band. Melissa, for example, just like, oh, this all sounds like the exact same band. Where I would like, no, there's like the four that I like, and then everything else sucks.
Yeah, And it was like everything, it all stopped, and then modern baseball happened. Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay. Exactly right. I like this music. That's right.
Exactly right.
It was modern baseball, and I forgot what the other one was for me. Hotelier, I think. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like emo music.
Right. Yeah, Front Bottoms came along as well.
Yeah, totally.
That's so funny. It's so true. You nailed it. Match of the week this week, I'm gonna give it up to my guys. 2.0, which is a tag team that I initially was like, I don't think these guys are good at all. And they're sort of affable, dork losers that I just suddenly fell in love with on AEW. And Matt Lee, who has crazy eyes, cutting hilarious old school promos and never blinking and asking people if they want a taste. I'm infatuated. And they have exploded onto the scene in beautiful Jacksonville. And I'm making it happen. And I'm excited that they're going to fight Mox and Eddie Kingston tonight on Dynamite. I'm looking forward to it because I can never get enough 2.0 content. 2.0 Matt Lee, the now, I think, BTE champion of the web series. So that's pretty decent. So I'm gonna go Mox and Eddie against 2.0. Very excited. Jake, you were away. You are back. You've had time off. Is there anything on the old television that has caught your eye?
We've still just been working our way through Top Chef.
Oh, yes, of course.
You watched, which is maybe the greatest show on television.
We watched all the clickbait in the last week.
Cassie watched that. Yeah. I was not paying attention. It was on. She started watching when I was at softball on Sunday.
Vinny Chase. It was on.
Yeah. So I was excited to watch it because Vinny Chase, and then Cass was like, he's barely in it. And I was like, oh, okay.
He is barely in it. Yeah. It is.
Yeah. I lost interest as soon as I heard that Vinny wasn't in it.
It is not very good. I loved it.
That's pretty much what Cassie said too.
It was the perfect amount of like, you don't really need to pay attention because you know, it's one of those ones where like, you know, I talked about this last week, but like every single twist and turn is like the obvious twist and turns.
Yeah.
And then yeah, it's a classic one where like the last episode, the reveal is like, and I sort of hate this in shows like this, where like the reveal of the whodunit, like there's no through line to the entire episode. There was no hint. There was nothing you could have picked up. Just like you would have had the only way you would have known is to guess, oh, it was that person, right? There's like literally no hint. The person who does it barely appears in the first seven episodes. Anyway, which all is to say, we also have been watching The Morning Show, which is a Apple TV.
Oh, I saw commercials for that during the Jays game today.
Yeah, well, because the second season's coming out, and we have Apple TV because of my wife has Apple TV, and it insists upon itself that it is prestige television. It's just sort of like
that's exactly the vibe I got from it. Yeah.
But man, Billy Crudup is so good.
He's always so good. Billy Crudup, I'm not gonna say he's the most underrated actor.
He's up there,
but
though.
Like, but he's up there. He's always so good.
He is fucking always so good. Billy
Crudup. Even like fucking Watchmen. Yeah. With that like impossible role he had, he's so good.
Billy Crudup is worth writing home about. Listen to me, the rest of it is pretty blatant. Like they put in a algorithm and it told them mix together Friends and The Office.
That's the tone of it.
No, it's not. It really truly isn't. It's really truly isn't. It sort of takes on. It's
to
like,
me, it was like someone like took Cole's notes of like an Aaron Sorkin show from 1998.
It's the newsroom. Like, the it's 2021. The newsroom.
Yeah. Okay.
But it also like really sloppily sort of like tries to address Me Too, because Steve Carell gets canceled. But also like another one, just like can't turn away, cannot wait to watch a new episode of it. I don't need my. I think I've learned about myself in this. I don't need my TV to be good. I need it to be.
No,
on.
Absolutely not. There's a bunch of shows that like that I really love that Cassie hasn't seen. That I was like, well, it's pandemic. It's a perfect time to like catch up on them. And then we both been like, you know what, it's a pandemic, I don't want to watch like six seasons of heavy good drama. Give me fucking 19 seasons of Top Chef.
I think I might like this like level of like clearly aiming really high. You, as you remember, you came out,
oh man,
sort of the
you, it's
perfect.
Coming out, it's coming back next month. I can't wait.
Yeah,
I think that's the
genre for me. It's just like, and which we've talked about this, and I don't want to get into this again, but is what makes like the conversation surrounding Ted Lasso so exhausting, right?
Yeah,
it's like the show is allowed to just be on. It doesn't have to like
especially when the show itself doesn't have like any desire to be like, it's not The Wire, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny you mentioned, The Wire. I had the urge to go back and rewatch The Wire, and then I was like, I don't want to watch.
I had the same thought.
I don't want to do all that.
I had the exact same thought. But no, I'm totally with you. I think that I've learned that, like, I don't know what it is. Last year, I've just been like, you know what? I just really feel like watching the new Gossip Girl.
Because
It sucks, and I love it.
So true, man. So true. So to that end, I would recommend The Morning Show. And don't worry too much.
Perfect.
About it.
Great.
Okay, we get to the mailbag. Jay Nielsen asks, in light of Jake's trip, is there a place you've been to where you thought, yep, I could live here? Great question, Jay Nielsen.
Ooh. I mean, I will say I'm a big like city trip person. I'm not, and like just historically, I haven't gone on a ton of like beach trips. I feel like, so because of that, there's a few, but I feel like boiling it down now, most of them are out because I don't want to live in the States ever.
Right. That is, both of my answers were the United States, but it's hard to now be like, ooh, I would love to go there.
Chicago, Seattle, and San Francisco are all places I'd be like, yeah, for sure. But now never again.
Yeah. My answer to this generally is like, the only time I've really truly felt that way on vacation was Chicago and Nashville. Because Nashville has this whole second side of it where it's like, it's not the honky-tonk neon lights. It's like a really nice city with like coffee shops and great culture and like, you know, great scene for music and comedy and entertainment. And it's like this really nice... just like a really nice city, but I don't think I would want to live in Tennessee in America in 2021, frankly.
No. And it's funny, you know, I think it's so easy to get caught up in like where you would live in vacation. Like when we were in PEI, we had drinks with a friend of ours who is from Montreal, but has basically been in PEI throughout the pandemic because there's no COVID there, which is also a crazy thing to just like exist. But she was saying how she loves PEI. But after a year there, it's like living in a small town. You're just like, I gotta get out.
Right.
Which is something that you don't consider when on vacation. Because to me, PEI is like the perfect place.
Of course.
It's just like, but then you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, no, I could see it.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I remember a year ago, we were living in a small beach town. And it was like, yeah, I could move here. But it's like, yeah, I could move here if I was 60. You know what I mean?
Right,
if
exactly.
If like doing stuff, quote unquote, wasn't all that important to me anymore, you'd live there. Exactly. And you'd have your little things. I think that's, having lived in Kitchener now for almost a full year, you're just like, yeah, I get it. We get it. It's fine. So yeah. Follow-up question comes from Mid Awesome. A good question as well. Great questions out of the gate. What's the best scripted sports TV show?
Oh, man.
Friday Night Lights is a good answer here. If you ignore season 2.
I feel like that's probably the, like, objectively the best one. I thought that show Pitch had huge potential.
But Ballers.
You know, I've never watched Ballers. Blake has told us to watch Ballers several times, and we've never watched it.
To the end of the conversation we just had about The Morning Show, Ballers is if you're like, man, I wish I could watch Entourage.
And have, I was gonna say, it's just sports Entourage.
It is just sports Entourage, and it is fucking fantastic. I need to catch up on Ballers. I watched season one.
A thing we've enjoyed about Top Chef is that like on weekends, when we don't have plans, it's a good show that you can like drink through.
Because
like when you're watching a new show on like a Friday night, you don't necessarily want to be like drinking through a new show.
Right.
But like, the great thing about Top Chef and Entourage is that you can absolutely just drink through it. So Ballers might be a good choice.
Eastbound and Down, Coach. Does Coach count? Yeah, Coach counts. I would. Cobra Kai technically is about sports, I guess.
I haven't seen that either. I hear that's great.
The League doesn't really count, does it? Ooh, you know what? It might be, for me personally, Glow. I loved Glow.
Oh, I've heard that's good also. We also didn't watch
that. I loved Glow. I'm looking at a list of the top scripted sports. Sports Night, which is Aaron Sorkin.
See, I was going to say, I don't know if that... I have two thoughts. I loved Sports Night when I was in high school.
Yeah, I don't think you could be...
It is genuinely, it's the reason I decided to go to university for like journalism until I dropped out.
Not surprised by that.
But I'm... don't know how it would hold up today.
I feel like Sports Night could have worked if it like you could do Sports Night now and it could work. Maybe not.
I think so too.
Not the exact way that they did it. I thought, you know, obviously there was like the stupid Josh Molina romance angle.
I mean, having more than like one real female character is probably
would have helped as well. Idea. Yeah.
But like, there's some great stuff in that show still that I'm sure still does hold up.
I might give it to Glow or the first two seasons of Glow, which is another segue for me to say for a second week in a row, I really want to watch Heels.
Yeah, I hear it's great.
I hear Heels is like the best show on TV right now. and your lovely father advised me to not click on a link that somebody sent me to watch it because it was a .ru link. And Todd was like, do not click on .ru links. And I was like, thank you, Todd. Because I would have.
I mean, I love me some Stephen Amell, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And he loves the bits. So, you know, it's.
He does. He does love the bits.
He got in the ring. You got to give it to him. Blake, I can't believe a lot of things about the question he asks. Blake asks, am I too old to start skateboarding again? Just speaking from personal experience, absolutely, quite frankly. And I love Blake. There's no chance you get me on a skateboard. I remember when hoverboards were the thing, the wheelie things?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't even go on that. I was like, no, I'm going to break my fucking hip. Because, you know, the thing about aging and your recovery times is like, you don't just shake off falling off a skateboard now at 35. Me personally,
that's true. I will say though, we're talking about Blake, who will just like do it and do it over and over again and become good at it.
Skateboarding does seem to be having like a surge in when we were at the beach town recently, I was shocked at how many kids were rolling by on skateboards. It was like skateboards to bikes was like nearly 1-to-1. It's skateboarding seems to be a thing again.
They remastered the Tony Hawk games. That's how everyone gets the skateboards.
Yeah, that's what it was for me as a kid.
Plays Tony Hawk. Yeah, me too. I would say like probably, but also do it and make like a sick skate video.
Yes. Stu Evans, who throws out the first pitch for game one of the World Series, which is taking place in Toronto?
Kyle Lowry.
Great pick. Won't he be busy?
Yeah. I was going to say if he's busy, then it should be Carlos Delgado.
Carlos Delgado is a good pick. Melissa is saying Layla, Annie Fernandez. She didn't even win, honey. I think Carlos Delgado.
She went to the Met Gala. What does she want?
How about this? How's this strike here, Jake? Jose Bautista.
Oh, that's a great one.
You know, I'll do what I can.
That's a good one. Or I'll float you one more, just because I feel like it suits sort of the upswing of it. And by that time, if that were to happen, by that day there might be enough groundswell for it. Scotty Barnes.
Maybe. Boy, oh boy. Maybe. Kelly Toomey asks, for 3 days of your choosing, you were given the abilities equal to the greatest athlete ever to play a sport of your choice. Which days and which sport do you choose, and how do you take advantage? That is tough because, I'll say this before I even answer, is like, there's no guarantee just because you have the abilities you're making a team, right? Like, say I pick Barry Bonds.
Right.
Right, I would have to convince the Jays to let me show them that I was as good as Barry Bonds, then prove that I was as good as Barry Bonds, and then do it again because they're not just see you once and sign you, and then on the third day, you basically have to use it. So this is a difficult question.
The problem is, we are too old and too over the hill for like being cool at a sport to get us anything.
Right, and also
in three days,
and also being like, an adult now, it's like I'm not eligible for the playoff roster, quite frankly.
That's true. Like, my brain is just like, just give me any major league player and let me go play softball at my softball league and just be dope for a day.
So I think...
just, like, hit dingers. It's like, what, truly, what am I going to do with it? There's nobody for me to impress. What, goes, like, put it on TikTok?
Yeah.
Me hitting a dinger? Like, who cares? You can't do it again 4 days later.
I think the answer, Jake, is I would take like Steph Curry and hit a half court shot worth $1 million or something. Like, what else can you really?
Oh, that's a good one.
You have to also fix yourself being given the opportunity to take that shot as well, right?
I think I would pick any NBA player that has ever existed and just like know what it feels like to be good at basketball for a day.
Yeah, go to the park and just shoot around. Unfortunately,
one day, just be like, ah. Cause like I suck at basketball.
Right.
I've always and basketball is such like a like, I never want to play pickup hoops.
Yeah.
Cause I suck at it, and just for one day, I just want to be like, yeah, I can beat like Drew, for a day.
You'd want to take on the ability to be an NBA player to beat fair service and pickup.
Or Blake, or like Steve, whatever. So us, our friends who play pickup and just can like do it because they're tall. Give me the ability to be dope at basketball for a day and be like, I can do it too, you tall fucks.
I love the mentality of take it to the Raptors Republic 3-on-3 tournament. I love that. You and yeah, me, that's exactly you it. And me as Steph and LeBron.
That's exactly what I do. That's like one day. That's absolutely what I do.
Ugh, God, I would fucking rub it in too. Oh my God.
I would take a basketball player's skill and dominate the 3-on-3 Raptors Republic tournament.
You, me, and a some third guy. It doesn't even matter. We're pulling up from 30. Oh, my goodness gracious. Prairie Jays with a good question. What's your favorite all-time Blue Jays jersey?
You know what? I don't really know if they've changed it that much, but I guess it would have been the 2013-12 Whites when they went back to the blue and white color scheme. I don't know if it was just at the time of being so jaded about the Black Jays or whatever, but like seeing that like classic white Jays uniform that looks so crisp and still does was like, it was such like a breath of fresh air, I think.
Yeah. I mean, at the risk of being cliche, the ones from like the early 90s with the white panel hat. I also loved their grays at the time, but I loved the Blue Jays across the front. And a little logo on the left underneath the word mark. I also really loved their alternate blues from that period. I think the current alternate blues are really nice.
I wasn't a huge fan of the I just didn't like the pullover. If it had buttons, I'd be all in it. I
basically just think your difference between that now and then. No, that's even then is the same. Is they had like sort of the ringer on the arms, but they even do have that. Mm-hmm. They have that still. So I think they've done a pretty good job sort of recapturing that. I think, I think the glory days, as obvious as that is, I like the glory days, the ones where the ringer ribboning on the arm is one of it was dark blue, one of it was light blue. I think that's the only difference between that and the current home whites.
I gotta say, I also love the new baby blues.
Sure.
I'm currently locked in a debate with myself of which player to get.
Anything but red is my answer to this, generally.
Or camo.
Yeah, for sure. Big red flag, that red jersey. And finally, from Gleason. He wants to know, are you going to host a show on your own or what you're going to do next week?
Well, stay tuned for next week's Sportsfeld where you'll find out.
I can't wait.
There will be a show next week. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
It's going to be awesome. You're going to have...
It'll probably be exactly what you did last week, just with me.
You're going to have... the Jays, between here and there... It's what is it? This is Twins
fucking,
Baltimore coming up.
Thank fucking God there's something to talk about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because then you'd be like, do I start previewing the NBA season? What are we doing here? You're going to have...
Yeah.
You go game by game. I mean, it's Minnesota-Tampa Bay, so you're going to have...
We'll see how the week goes. Yeah. We'll see how the week goes, and I'll decide if I'm going to go game by game.
Minnesota-Tampa Bay. Shouldn't be...
If they're 5-0 by the time I record, then maybe I'll go game by game.
Anyway, that's it for the mailbag for another week. We will take a quick break and answer whether we are sad or not sad after this. We close things out in emotional fashion, as we often do. It is another round of Sad Not Sad on the way. Jake, you are... returning to us, I will let you go first. Are you sad or not sad this week?
I gotta go not sad. I was just on vacation and the Blue Jays are winning. It's not doesn't get more less complicated than that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna overthink it. I'm just gonna appreciate it. And being on vacation and watching the Jays win 4 games in New York was a pretty good vacation.
Did you watch Jays every single day that you were on vacation?
We did, yeah. We found bars to... I mean, it's not hard to find bars in Charlottetown, but... yeah, we made sure to get in what we wanted to during the day and then have some beers and watch some baseball.
Delightful. I'm also going to go not sad on a very similar tip that I am heading out to vacation. I'm looking forward to getting away. I'm looking forward to not having to work more than anything, which I know is sort of the prime feature of a vacation. But just sort of like I have done a bad job in the last little bit of, my wife is very organized, and the way that her work operates is she generally needs to book her entire year's vacation at the beginning of the year. So I would do a bad job as, you know, I was freelancing, I was under contract, I was new at jobs, so I would, she would have to spend her vacation just like staycaying while I worked through, or we would go to the cottage and I would work and she would vacay. I'm really looking forward to getting away with her and having time together to go on vacation and seeing a new place. Never been to Vancouver, never been out west. Going to see the ocean, which is always fun, but an ocean I have never seen. I'd never seen the Pacific Ocean in my life, Jake. So,
wow.
That's pretty cool. Pretty exciting for me. Yeah, I've never been on the West Coast. The furthest west I've been is Edmonton in Canada and Vegas in the United States. Neither of those anywhere near the Pacific Ocean.
I think you're going to really enjoy the West Coast.
I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see. I mean, baseball is going to be on in the afternoon.
4 p.m. Yeah, day drinking time.
Well, the first we arrive on Wednesday now, and the first there's going to be a game that day at 12. They play the final game against Tampa at noon Pacific time, and then 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock. It's an 8:10 start in Minnesota on the Friday. So. Yeah, looking forward to like afternoon baseball, and then the game is over and your day isn't totally ruined. Again, not that the highlight of our trip is going to watch baseball, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I will say as someone who just did it, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
Especially if they're winning, it's pretty nice.
I'm also interested to see what time my wife goes to bed on the West Coast, because she's been in bed at like 9:30, 9:45, which is like the middle of the day.
She'll make it through the 4 o'clock baseball game and then be like, okay.
Well, yeah, that's here's the thing, right? That's the same time she normally goes to bed. It's after the 4 o'clock baseball.
That's game. Right.
So that's true. It'll be, you know, seventh inning stretch, and it'll be 6 o'clock, and she'll be like, well, bedtime for Bonzo. So we'll see what goes on. I'm looking forward to it, but I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what you do next week. And if you folks are interested in listening to more Sportsfeld, there is the Patreon, patreon.com/Sportsfeld, is where all the episodes go. You get them ad-free. You get our special look back. This month, we're looking back at the 2014 Blue Jays, because we thought we were dealing with maybe the most disappointing team of our lifetimes. Turns out, probably not. Things are going well. We have that. We have Blue Monday every Monday. I am reviewing every single game of the season so far. Hard to believe. I was looking at it. I've already reviewed 142 Blue Jays games this year. 143, pardon me.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't miss a single game in terms of review. I haven't watched every single one, but I at least saw pieces of it, and we have talked about all 143 leading up to this Sunday. And this Monday will be no different. It'll be 149 games down at the end of this week. I'm having a blast. I talk to myself mainly, but I do have some guests sometimes. But it is a ton of fun. I can't wait to do it as many more times as I can. There's at least three more episodes, the 20th, the 27th, and the 4th, which will be the last game of the season. I hope able to continue doing those throughout the month of October. But that being said, also the mailbag. There's also a mailbag at the end of every month, which we have to organize coming up pretty soon. That is it. All that is on patreon.com/sportsfeld. As I said, get on there. Give us some support. Got some great feedback, actually, from a patron this week that was like, really, really enjoying the Monday and the mailbags and our openness about mental health, which is always something we are prided ourselves in on this show. Love getting feedback like that. So means the world to us that you listen to us every single week. And on that note, all we can say left is thank you so much for listening to Sportsfeld.